rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance, because you'll feel protected no matter how the wind blows. Also, you can keep enjoying the home of your dreams. And our expert agents can help you save up to 23% when you bundle home with auto. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
For Buck and Honey's in Sun Prairie with Wisconsin women's hockey coach Mark Johnson, you're having fun tonight, aren't you?
This is awesome. Listen, Tom, thanks so much for hosting it and for everybody to come out. I mean, I think Mike can attest to this. This energizes you. This is why we do what we do, and we're excited that everybody was able to come out tonight, and we really appreciate it. Hopefully we can do it again, and on Wisconsin.
Yeah, there you go, Mark. I love it. So we have no breaking news. Mark Johnson's going to coach here until he decides he doesn't want to coach anymore. But you do have plans in the very near future with your lovely wife, Leslie, about your Agape Ranch. Tell us about that.
We don't have enough time, but she's actually here tonight. But it's just a project where I think, as you get older in age, you start to figure out, what's important as you wind your career down. And for us, can we connect that with something that I think our community and, not only here in Wisconsin, but around the state that we can be beneficial. And the buzzword is mental health and what's going on with that. And so we're going to create, and we have created a project that we're going to put together. As you mentioned, it's called Agape Ranch. And we're going to connect kids with horses and hopefully help them as they journey through life. And so it's creating a piece of property where when the kids come on the property, whatever is going on in their world, and there's a lot of things going on in their world right now that aren't positive, but give them an opportunity to whatever's going on to let that go down and give them an opportunity to do a bunch of different activities to give them hope, to give them love, and connect them with animals and do things that will be helpful in their lives and make a difference in their lives. So it's something my wife's very passionate about, horses, and we've been able to put things together and moving way and in the process of fundraising right now, and hoping a lot of people within our community will come along with us and ride down this journey, because I think there's a big need. And I think as we go through the next couple of years, as those COVID kids that are in middle school and experience COVID during middle schools, and now that as they enter high schools, I think those things are going to be starting to ramp up. And so what can we do to help those kids out? So we're going to try to create this space where in our little space, we can help those kids out.
All right. Agape Ranch. Yes. AgapeRanchWI.com, AgapeRanchWI.com. They have three horses named Bob, Hummer, and Maddie. All right, so I'd love to meet those horses someday. Hey, we've got a minute left, a little bit less than that. You go to Minnesota Duluth, where actually last year you won your last national championship, the 7th in program history, but they're a really good team, and this is a tough stretch now. You got 10 games left.
Well, Mike and Tess, here's your opportunity. We have 10 games left. We're playing Minnesota, Ohio State, Duluth, up at Bemidji, St. Cloud, who's a top 10 team. And so what you do in the next 10 games is really going to help you at the end. And if you do well in these next 10 games, boy, you're going to put yourself in a position to do something real special, and that's what we're planning on doing.
All right, good luck. Thanks for coming out tonight.
Thank you.
Sure, that's Wisconsin women's hockey coach Mark Johnson. We'll wrap things up in a moment. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
The Wisconsin women's hockey team at Minnesota Duluth Friday and Saturday at 3 o'clock both games, and both games will be carried live on television in the Madison. Your local listings. Meanwhile, the Wisconsin men's hockey team at Michigan Friday and Saturday night. Paul Capobianco and I will be on the air at 5:30 with face-off at 6 o'clock on the Badgers Sports Network and the Varsity Network app. Thanks to Tom Anderson, Christy and Mira. Great job out here. Travis Scott, Susie, Corey Dillon, Dave McCann, Mike Henderson. I'm Brian Posick. Thanks for listening to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
You've been listening to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
get there, they find out dinner is like 4 hours away. So there's this like palpable tension the entire time they're waiting for dinner, and they have this horribly awkward game of charades, which starts off with Ed Helms. Just a great clip. Go ahead, Conrad.
I think Dinner Party is probably the one of the all-time greatest.
Small TV.
Yeah, that's the one. We're going to play that next. That's Ed Helms talking to Dan Patrick about that episode. That's how great that episode was. But let's play the Dinner Party clip.
There's the hump.
Joe Camel.
Yes.
Camel.
Okay, oh, yes. No, first name of that animal. And the second name is the state where Helena is the capital.
Montana.
Oh. Joe Montana?
Yes.
Time.
All right. Woo.
Why didn't you just say 49ers quarterback?
All right, my turn.
Babe, can you just like really, whoa, we're just like really.
What?
Can you just sit down?
No,
seriously.
I was making people laugh.
No.
Yes, I was watching Jim's face.
I was watching Jim.
And he was laughing.
No,
look,
smile.
Look at him, he's laughing.
Michael and Jan seem to be playing their own separate game, and it's called Let's See How Uncomfortable We Can Make Our Guests. And they're both winning, so I am going to make a run for it. You'll never guess, I just got a message from my landlord. Apparently my apartment flooded. Something with the sprinkler.
Oh, no!
Pam, we should probably get going and see the damage.
Oh, okay.
Well, you don't need two of you to do that.
That's true. Dinner sounded delicious. Pam, I'll see you at home. Thank you so much.
Oh, Jim, I don't think you're going to abandon this party here all by itself.
I don't know, because everything I own is there.
You can buy new stuff, but you can't buy a new party.
That's true. That is a great point. Come on down here. Sit down on that couch and be amongst friends, and we are not going to think about all your stuff being destroyed, all right?
Michael, you're up.
All right, here we go. This is going to be fun. Ready?
Go.
All right. First name is Tom.
No names. No rhyming. Right. No sound alike. Right.
Okay. You're getting into my head. First name is blank, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
I don't know.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah! But he's married to her.
Oh, Dawson's Creek.
No. It has to be a real person, Jim. Come on. Okay. No. I'm gonna pass. Okay. Rhymes with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No rhyming.
That's really not a rhyme.
Okay,
another clue.
Okay, he's the governor of California. He is the Terminator.
Those aren't helpful.
Tom Cruise.
No!
Time!
If you have not seen the Dinner Party episode of The Office, watch it now. It is, if you like awkward humor, it's just, and then Michael reveals to the party that he finally broke down on, and bought a plasma TV with like, it's on the wall. It's got like a 9-inch screen. It's so, so brilliant. And that's Ed Helms, whose birthday it was yesterday. Do we have time for that other Ed Helms clip, Conrad?
Yeah, we do.
Let's play that. This is Ed Helms talking about that episode and being on The Office on the Dan Patrick Show.
I think Dinner Party is probably the one of the all-time greatest.
Small TV.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That little plasma screen and just the tension. You can cut it with a knife. It was also one of the most fun episodes to shoot. Lots of fond memories.
How hard was it to keep a straight face with
on The Office?
Yeah,
I was a disaster of just breaking all the time. Steve Carell just slays me. There's something in his eyes. I don't know. I had to, a lot of times if I was doing a scene with Steve, I would have to look at his chin because I couldn't look him in the eyes. It was just, I would lose it. There's an episode where he plays Santa and, or he's like, you know, being an office Santa. And I think Phyllis or Kevin is sitting in his lap and he's so awful about it. Because it's uncomfortable for him, and he's just being really rude and weird and mean about it. And I had to duck behind a plant. You can see in the actual episode in the background. And by the way, that was like take 30 because I had been laughing in every single take. He's a genius. There's so much funny memories on that.
Yeah, it was great.
So, I mean. That's one of the That's one of the shows. Our question of the night is, what sitcom would you want to live in? And I've never really worked an office job, but I think it would be, for me anyway, that's a place I'd want to spend a long weekend. I don't know if I'd want to live there. But let us know what you think. What sitcom do you want to live in? That's tonight's question. 844-967-2789. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. We will be right back with Mike Clemens.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers promises to veto a redistricting bill making its way through the legislature. Republicans are touting the bill as 99% of what Evers asked for in a map proposal in 2021. But Evers says changes made to the proposal still amount to gerrymandering. The state Supreme Court will enact a redistricting plan this spring if lawmakers and the governor don't do it first. The State Department of Natural Resources Fish and Wildlife Fund is approaching a budget deficit of almost $16 million by 2026. That fund helps to employ around 500 people. DNR officials say that fewer and fewer people are buying hunting licenses. They've floated a number of ways to address the deficit, including taking a closer look at how many people they employ and relying more on federal funding. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me here at Nightlight on a Thursday night. I am alternate Pete Schwabe because I am not myself today. So great to have you here. Our question tonight, what sitcom do you want to live in? If you could live in a sitcom, your favorites, if you like that world, what sitcom would you like want to crawl into and live in? That is tonight's question. So please weigh in if you so choose. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison joins me to talk about their upcoming lineup of shows, which are always incredible. Such a great facility. But joining me right now via the telephone is sports guru, just all-around sports guy, Mike Clemens. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Pete. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm doing better now. I always like when you're on the show. It's great to have you.
The answer is the Larry Sanders Show.
Oh, nice. Boy, that I did not see that coming, Mike. So what? Okay, so let's say you're in the Larry Sanders Show, which is brilliant. What component of that show would you want to be? I assume you mean just Mike Clemens, but
Rip Torn. What was the name of the
Artie.
Producer?
Artie.
I'm Artie.
I can see that. Okay. I always liked the writers' room. I always thought Jeremy Piven and I think the other writer's name I think was Wallace Langham. They always.
Yeah, but. Just like a sitcom, or rather, just like a talk show like that, you know, you got about an 18-month window to have a job there.
So. That's true. No, listen, you have much better job security as fake Artie than I would as fake writers. Yeah. But I just like how they used to torment Hank. That was always fun. So great answer. So how's it going, Mike? How's everything else going?
Well, you know, as long as the Packers and the Bucks stop firing people, I could actually get onto my off season.
Yeah, no kidding. What do you want to talk about first? Because we got Joe Barry, or the Bucks interim coach is 1-0. That's exciting.
Well, let's get into first things first. I just get back from San Francisco, and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, our own news department in Madison's sending me texts like they just fired Adrian Griffin, like, what? Now, right. There's some things along the way where I thought, well, that doesn't sound right. But to fire this guy that they had this great big reception for when they first hired him, and, I thought I misunderstood the mission. I thought the mission was, by the time we get to the playoffs, this guy will be a good coach. We'll have things settled. But no, for John Horst and for the Bucks and probably the owners, we got to work on defense. Hey, we got to do this. We got to do that. And there are things there that I saw that I thought that doesn't sound right. So, when we met Adrian Griffin, and I had not ever met him before, I briefly remember him as a player and who also finished with the Bucks for a little bit and became a player coach back then. He went from transition from player to coach. Was it
really?
I think or something like that.
Wow.
He spent a year with the Bucks.
I remember him being on the team. I don't remember. That's pretty cool. That's pretty rare, too.
Yeah. It was a great up. That's kind of where I believe he told me he started his coaching career. That, coaches, when they walk in the room, they make everybody sit up straight. The hair on the back of your neck goes up. It's like, okay, here's Mr. Badass. And they make jokes. They sort of cut people down. That's the way that they let you know that they know you, that they're paying attention, all that. And, Adrian Griffin's a big teddy bear. Now I remember Wes Edens, the owner, talking about one of the meetings he had with Wes and just being Adrian and just how impressed they were and how he would draw up plays, offensive plays. But actually, Griffin was supposed to be more of a defensive guy. And yet, and I don't understand why John Horst, the GM, had a press conference yesterday afternoon. And he said, but then we added, Damian Lillard, and the timetable here sort of changed. And I don't get that. I don't get that at all. To me, it's a blemish PR move, isn't it?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, do you think, Mike, it was like one of those situations where he wanted the players to like him, so he was one of the guys, and the owners didn't like that? Or because you're right, I feel like there's something else at play here. You don't get fired for a record like that.
you know, they had this game, was it against the Cavaliers, where they jumped out to a 22-2 lead. Giannis was sitting out the night because he had a bad shoulder. It was like a week and a half ago. And Cleveland jumped out 22-2 in the first 6 minutes, and they just ended up drilling him. The final score, they lost by 40 points, 135-95. And then I thought, okay, finally, we're going to see some temper from the head coach. And he came, all he did was say, you know, we can't play like that. I mean, we're a better team than that. We can't play like that. And not that, you know, maybe he can be yelling at the guys in the locker room and be more temperate in front of the media, but that you've got to be the same leader whether you're in front of the microphones or in front of the players.
Right.
You know, and he, that should have been a night he was throwing stuff around. You know, Boston came to town, and Joe, it's a Mazzulla, I can't remember his first name, the manager of the Celtics, they had a bad night too. Now, they played a game that went into overtime the night before, so maybe his guys were a little gassed, but this was a game that the Bucks fans at Fiserv Forum were really excited because they're going to play the number one team in the Eastern Conference right now, and this could be a precursor to postseason play and all that.
Yeah.
And the Celtics were down by 20 or 30 at halftime, and so that head coach from the Celtics, he benched all his guys, including Drew Holiday, and said, forget it. You guys stink tonight. I'm not going to watch any more of this. We're going to empty the bench, let our young players say, and I want you to watch the second half and just think about what you did here tonight. I mean, he made some kind of a statement like that with the guys, whether he's just deciding we're never going to reach this game, I don't want a guy to get injured now in a useless game, or if it was also more to send a message. And it was just like another day for a Griffin. That was probably the last straw. I did not know this until after he was fired, that when they were struggling or they really wanted so bad to win that in-season tournament that they played in Las Vegas,
right, yeah,
they brought in Doc Griffin then as a consultant.
No kidding. So he must have rubbed him the right way, so to speak. I mean,
Doc Rivers?
Oh, Doc Rivers. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No. They brought Doc Rivers in to help Griffin, you know, to consult the team.
Oh,
like, don't know about that. That's a little bit of a red flag. And now Doc Griffin,
now they're doing it again. Yeah.
Got the job, right? Replacing him.
So, oh man!
And my best story about Adrian Griffin and what he got himself into with the Bucks was, you know, they talked to certain coaches. There's some guys like Kelvin Sampson, veteran coach. He didn't want the job. And a couple of other coaches I found out that are landed with other NBA teams, they weren't interested in the offer in Milwaukee for whatever reason.
Hmm.
And then there was Nick Nurse was a guy that was out there. He ended up going to another team, but Giannis didn't like him. Giannis got a chance to talk to some of these final candidates, these top three candidates, and Giannis told them, though, he liked Adrian Griffin. He thought that that would be a match. So that had some influence in this. But for my money, it's like, how did you not see, in talking to Adrian Griffin, at least in three or four interviews, that this is a great guy, he's an assistant coach, he's not the badass head coach that you're going to need. And the guy you're going to need is going to have to deal with Giannis and Damian Lillard, who I think are both great players, great guys, but there are egos involved.
Sure.
In the NBA, and you've got to be really smart to convince those guys how they're supposed to, you know, run their defense, run their offense, run their plays, and you've got to manage those things. Middleton, as well.
Yeah.
So we're at this incredible reception that they threw because it was the dawning. It was a new era. It was like June 5th of last summer, and one of the PR guys was really nice to me to say, oh, yeah, we know that you guys got a bunch of Bucks affiliates. Yeah, here, you can talk to Adrian for a couple of minutes. And I said, so let me ask you, how'd you find out you got the job? And Adrian looked to one of the PR guys and says, can I tell this? And he nodded like, okay. He says, yeah. He said, you know, I'd met with the Bucks on Tuesday and Wednesday. We took Thursday off. My agent called me Friday morning and said, the Bucks want to see you again. Get in there now. You know, put your best suit on. I think we're at the 1 yard line. Don't blow this, all right? And so he goes in, and he goes into the meeting. It's in Wes Edens, the owner, along there with Jimmy Haslam, you know, going to be a new owner there.
Right.
And John Horst, the GM, a couple other people. And Wes is just sitting there looking at his phone. And they're just making conversation, like, okay, well, you know, what's this about? What's going on? Finally, Wes looks at his phone and goes, oh, well, if Woj says it's true, it must be true. And he turns his phone around and it reaches across the desk and shows Adrian Griffin, and it says, Bucks hire Adrian Griffin as new head coach. And that's how they told him he had the job. I think that's creepy.
It's really strange. It's like they don't know what's going on. The ownership almost.
No. Do you see, Pete? They thought, let's have a little fun. We'll call Woj. We'll tell him Adrian's got the job. We'll wait for him to post it. And when they post it, that's we'll have him read, you know, on Twitter that he got the job.
That is like low level. You're right. Creepy. It's like a bad candid camera joke.
This guy is 49 years old. He was a longtime player. Longtime assistant. This is an important moment in his life, and rather than just tell him face to face, you know, like a man shake hands, it's like, oh, let's have some fun. Let's show off that, you know, we're in cahoots with ESPN, and you know, we're letting them know what the news is before you even tell the guy who's got the job. That's the same group that fired that guy 43 games later.
Yeah, I guess now it kind of makes not makes sense, but where's the blemish? Like you said, it's just strange. Mike Clemens is my guest right now. We're talking about the Bucks. You mentioned Giannis and Damian Lillard. Some good news comes out of this with the All-Star nods. That's pretty cool. It's got to make Milwaukee proud in light of the bad
news. Both Giannis and Dame are going to be are named starters for their side of the All-Star game. So, yeah, that's to be expected, actually.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, not a huge surprise there. But, Mike, so Joe Barry got fired. This is not a huge surprise. I'm not saying like I kind of feel like I mean, Packer fans can be tough, you know. Like they expect to win. But was he as bad as people said? It seemed like he kind of had a good run down at the end of the year. There, are you surprised by the firing or not?
What I know about Barry is this: I have to think that part of the change this thing. Was that, you know, Matt LaFleur also got feedback from players. Yeah. Joe is a good guy. He's actually, he travels the world. He, you know, knows the nicer things in life. Very proper. Tries to be as pleasant and positive a guy as he can. But there's something that's a little, well, you know the series MASH, right?
With sure.
Hawkeye Pierce and those, right?
Yeah.
Remember Major Frank Burns?
Yeah.
That's Joe. You know, he knows everything, and he has to brag a little bit, so he gets a little attention. You know, well, I did this, well, I did that, and you know, that's and that wears on players. Well, you got to spend 4 hours a day with this guy. Like right. One of his last press conferences, we were talking about certain things about the 49ers offense and how good the receivers are, and he says, "Yeah, one of the things we've got to watch out for with this group, though, is Yak." And you know, that means that's a term that we use called for yards after the catch.
Yeah.
And we're all looking at each other like the youngest guy in here has covered the NFL for 15 years. Yeah, Joe, we know what the hell the Yak means. You know, he talked like he was talking to a group touring the stadium, not.
Yeah, right.
So he does stuff like that. And, you know, I said to somebody, did you catch that? And because guys were rolling their eyes. And he says, can you imagine being in a meeting with that guy for 4 hours? No.
That's hilarious. I love the Frank Burns comparison. Can you stick around for a couple more minutes, Mike? I want to ask you about, one more thing. And then wondering if you've seen anything good or if you have an opinion on the Oscars. Mike Clemens is with us. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Where's his Sunday best? Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep. He can't hang around. Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our house, it has a crowd. There's always something happening, and it's usually quite loud. Our mum, she's so house proud. Nothing ever slows her down, and a mess is not allowed.
What sitcom would you want to live in if you could? What world do you want to crawl into? What sitcom do you want to live in? That's tonight's question. And you can reach us at our new phone number, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Let us know. Conrad's mom weighed in. I was waiting for that. I was starting to get worried, Conrad. She wants to live in Happy Days, and she says you and Conrad could be on WKRP in Cincinnati. Yeah, we'll throw some turkeys out of a helicopter. From the 608, Rico says, three is company. Ritter was at his best in Sling Blade and Bad Santa. I actually had to Google Sling Blade during the break because I forgot he was in that. Great text, Rico. Mike Clemens wants to live in the Larry Sanders Show, and I don't blame him. Mike.
And some days I think I already do, you know what I'm saying?
You know the world well. I have one more sports question I want to ask you. I just want to get your opinion before we move on. I'd love to know what you're watching and if you have an Oscars take. But Brock Purdy, this guy, the San Francisco 49ers just bug me because they spent the farm on Trey Lance and Christian McCaffrey. What did they give, 5-6 first-round picks for both of them? Christian McCaffrey was worth it. Lance was a bust. They have no first-round picks, and they back into this last guy in the draft, Brock Purdy. Is he just surrounded by great talent, or is he a great talent?
No, he's a great talent. He's amazing. Jeez. And some of the Pro Football Focus numbers at the end of the season say that in, you know, various instances and, you know, downs and distance and whatnot, he's sometimes the most accurate passer in the NFL. He's also got some pretty darn good receivers,
yeah,
as well, some great targets.
And a good tight end,
and
yeah,
a good offensive line, you know, led by Trent Williams out there at tackle. But, no, he's a kid. He's still learning as well, played half a season last year until he had the arm injury against the Eagles, made an amazing recovery. To get back in and be ready by September with the surgery he had to have on his arm, is amazing in itself, but he's calm and cool in the pocket. And, you know, when he threw that first ball, was the maybe end of the first quarter that Darnell Savage almost intercepted Saturday night out in Santa Clara, I think he dialed it back. And that's what the 49ers, reporters thought as well. It's like, oh, this ain't the same Brock, man. He's being tentative. He even admitted that to a certain extent in his post-game interview as well. Plus, dealing with the rain and everything else. Basically, he kind of went into a shell and said, oh, God, I don't want to throw this game away.
Right.
And they felt like, wow, the Packers are fast. They're coming. And this could be a shootout tonight. And I don't want to give them 7 points. But it wasn't until he kind of got down to the end of the game where he just started slinging. He made some tremendous throws on there. So did Jordan Love.
Yeah.
The touchdown throw to Tucker Kraft as they were going from right to left on your TV screen down there near the end zone. I mean, it was just amazing. He threw this ball near the goal line that was low and away with such zip on it. Kraft able to just, you know, catch it both with his both hands, his palms up, bring it in and take 2 steps and go in for a touchdown.
Yeah.
That was a big time throw.
Absolutely. No. All right. Well, I just feel like, oh, come on. Really? They got lucky with this guy? I mean, they obviously knew what they were doing, the scouting department, whatever, but it just doesn't seem fair that they back into another potential franchise quarterback. Mike, as much as I love talking sports with you, I've learned that I really enjoy listening to you talk about what you're watching. Is there something you could recommend? A movie, TV? Have you been following the Oscar nominations at all?
No. I know they came out. I saw the actress for Barbie didn't get in, but
yeah,
you know, Ryan Gosling did, so that's interesting.
That was,
no, I haven't actually seen the whole list yet, because I've been traveling,
yeah,
and then, you know, going back and forth for these press conferences and whatnot. So, you know, now I've got to turn around, see what else is going to be happening with the Bucks and with the Packers and their front office changes. But then I leave for the Super Bowl for 10 days next week.
Oh, nice.
So I haven't really had a lot of time to watch shows. It's just I did tell you on New Year's Day, I saw a movie to me is kind of a sleeper, and that's this film called Ferrari.
Oh, yeah. I think you did mention that last time.
Adam Driver.
Really good.
And Penelope Cruz is amazing in it. She plays, you know, like a first wife who goes from crazy lady to, you know, the smartest person in the cast.
Yeah.
Back to crazy lady. She's really good. I don't know if she got nominated or not. Aaron Rodgers' old girlfriend, Shailene Woodley, is in this movie as well. I thought she was okay. But it's about Enzo Ferrari.
Right.
And the Ferrari company back in the 50s. And how it, you know, nearly went bankrupt. And then, you know, the epilogue tells you how it now became the billion-dollar company that it is international today. So it's a really, really well-shot film in Italy. Adam Driver is just outstanding in it, so I highly recommend that. I think anybody listening is going to enjoy that. I saw Maestro
Brad Cooper. Bradley, yeah, I
Cooper
saw that too.
Playing Leonard Bernstein. And Sarah Silverman, the comedian, she's incredible. She plays Lenny's sister. Just outstanding.
Yeah,
of that is an outstanding film.
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't love it. I did like it a lot, and I was surprised to see Sarah Silverman. Interesting career. Like, she's a very funny comedian. And she does turn up in movies occasionally, but I was like, whoa, I hadn't seen her in a while.
Here's something that I saw on the plane. Maybe some people have seen it already. It's probably been out there for a while. I watched a thing called Being Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, nice.
It's a two-hour biography that her ex-husband, Grant Tinker, produced, you know, in her honor and tells her story. That's really interesting.
She's had a very interesting life. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she, I mean, for, you know, the literal icon she was in television and for women and all those kinds of things, Being Mary Tyler Moore, I thought was a really interesting 90-minute documentary. Really well produced.
Awesome. Thanks so much for the tip, Mike, and thanks for the news, as always, about the Packers and the Bucks. We really appreciate it. Have a great night, buddy. I hope we get to do it again soon.
Thanks, Pete.
You
appreciate
got it.
Thank
Safe
you,
travels. Thanks, Mike. That's Mike Clemens. In just a few minutes, my guest will be Tim Sowers. He's going to tell us all we need to know about what's coming up at the Overture Center in Madison. If you're looking for a getaway and a fun show to see, we're going to read more of your text, too. What sitcom do you want to live in? That's tonight's question. If you could live in a sitcom, what would it be? And our new phone number is 844-967-2789. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Aaron from The Todd Albaugh Show. On Friday, Todd continues his winter tour around Wisconsin, and we are joined by Peter Rapine of E-Bombs World. Join us noon to 2.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.